you go. And what a promise that is. And as we take a quick look this morning at this journey to the promised land, I would like to you remember what it is that God has commissioned you to do this morning. We as believers in Jesus Christ have been commissioned to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We need to make a choice this very moment, this morning, and we need to decide who we are going to serve. We will be talking about what it means to be a servant here in a little bit, and we all need to really evaluate ourselves as to which God we're going to serve. Are we going to serve God Almighty, or are we going to serve this new social justice God that the world is trying to push down our throats? 1 Kings 18:21 tells us, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but of Baal, follow him. And the people answered not a word. It breaks my heart about the last words in that verse. It says, and the people answered not a word. Today, when we look around, we see, and the people answered not a word. Brothers and sisters, we need to stand up on the firm foundation that God has given us and proclaim the truth. It's each and every one of our responsibility. It's a leadership role that we have as Christians. We are to be ready at a moment's notice to stand up for truth according to God's word. And we need to stand up and say, Lord, here am I. Christians need to stand up and we need to speak up. So looking at our lesson this morning, we find that the children of Israel are at a crossroads. Moses, their leader since the exodus of Egypt, now I'm stuttering, he has died. And they find themselves without a leader. Now they have to make a choice. Do they enter into the promised land or do they return back to Egypt? God had a plan. He had Joshua set apart for this role. He's been preparing Joshua for this moment his entire life. Moses had been teaching Joshua, and we will see that God's plan for his people did not die with Moses, but is alive and well through the leadership of Joshua, God's chosen man. Deuteronomy 34:9 tells us, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And what a joy it is to know that God does keep his promises. So when we look at Joshua and his journey to the promised land this morning, we're going to look at his resume first. Going back to verses 1 through 5, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. We see when we look at his resume this morning that he was chosen. He was chosen. He was chosen from the beginning. He was born a slave in Egypt and was Moses' right-hand man. Some may ask why Joshua was able to enter the promised land when so many from his generation were not. We see in our text again that the Lord spake to Joshua and he said, arise. It's your turn. It's your turn. I choose you. Psalm 75:6-7 tells us, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, he setteth up another. Joshua is chosen by God for God's purposes. When we look at his resume, we see he was also proven. He led the armies as commanded by Moses. Joshua demonstrated great faith as he fought against the Amalekites. And what a story that is when you read it. Moses instructs Joshua to gather men together to fight these people. Moses, Aaron, and Hur stand on top of the hill. Moses is going to hold up the rod of God. And while he's holding it up, Joshua and the army is prevailing. What happens when Moses gets tired? The Amalekites start to advance. There's a lot of things we can get off of that, and that'd be another thing. You know, I tend to go off on soapboxes, but what did Aaron and Hur do? They set Moses up on a stone. They helped him hold up that rod. Is that not an example of how we're to hold each other up? And what happened with Joshua? They prevailed. God was with them. But my simple mind and the way I think, can you think of what Joshua might have felt like when he's down there fighting and he sees the Amalekites advancing and he looks up and he sees Moses down on the ground? To me, in my mind, I'd be thinking, somebody got to him, right? Moses was tired. He was physically tired. He went beyond his abilities. Her and Aaron lifted him up. We need to lift each other up. That strength gave Joshua the strength to keep fighting. It bleeds over. And where does that power come from? It don't come from me. It don't come from you. It comes from God, bringing us together to do what He has called us to do. It's a great example of faith being tested. When we look at his resume, we see he was a servant. Exodus 24, 12 through 13 tells us, "And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua," catch that word, minister Joshua, "and Moses went up into the mount of God." We know that Joshua was a servant to Moses. Joshua patiently waited and ministered to Moses on the mountain. He was there anticipating any need that Moses needed. Joshua knew that he had to be led by the Lord. Joshua also knew that he was insufficient to do all these things, but God was sufficient to see them through. Joshua had to be a man that was being led by the Lord. Charles Spurgeon says it like this: when a patient believes in a physician, he carefully follows his prescriptions and directions. Faith which refuses to obey commandments of the Savior is mere pretense, and we will never save the soul. We have to believe what God says is true. If we don't, it's pointless. If you're sitting here this morning and you don't believe the words written in this Bible, I encourage you to read it again. Read it again. God's going to get a hold of you. I pray He does. You see, before Joshua can serve the people of Israel, he must serve the Lord first. And it's because of his service to God, he can properly serve the people. Being a servant of Christ is not about how many people serve you, but it's how many you serve. When we look at Christ, the King of Kings, what did he do? Did he come down here and make us bow down to him and everything he does? He washed our feet. Be a servant, a humble servant. Mark 10, 43 through 44 tells us, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." Joshua lived his life being known as a servant of the Lord. And you see that in Judges chapter 2, verse 8, when it talks about when he died. It says he was a servant of the Lord. He lived to be 110 years old. When we look at his resume, we also see that he was patient. Joshua waited for 40 days on that mountain. 40 days. How many of us can wait 4 hours? 4 hours. I don't like waiting, do you? We've gotten conditioned to pull up the drive-thru, make a order, and get it and be gone within 5 minutes. God desires that we remain patient on our journey. Joshua's patience paid off. He waited for God, and God delivered him into the promised land in God's own time. Can you imagine how much better our lives would be if we would just learn to wait on God? I know mine would have been a lot better. Psalms 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." As we look at his resume, we see that he had a vision. Remember that Joshua had already seen the promised land. Do you remember that? 40 years before? And at that time, he was excited by what he saw, and he believed in the promise of God. He said, "We can take it." And then they was going to stone him. You remember that? He never forgot about it. I can imagine for 40 years thinking about that land of milk and honey. Everything was plentiful there. He had a godly vision. His vision was based upon God's words, and he never forgot them. Joshua 1:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." He acted on his belief. Joshua knew that God would be good on his promise. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Joshua is content on following God. And for that reason, he was ready to lead the people into the promised land. The second thing we'll look at this morning is Joshua's responsibility. As a leader, he was responsible. Joshua 1, 6-9, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people shall you divide an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." He was to provide leadership. That was his responsibility. Throughout our journeys, God will put each and every one of us in a position of leadership. It doesn't matter where it is or what it is. It could be at home. It could be at work. It could be at school. You could be babysitting, whatever the case may be. And you remember that great commission I mentioned earlier? We are all called to be witnesses. That takes role of leadership. How? They're lost. They're lost. Our leadership comes from God. We share them the good news. Are we leading them to Christ? We're pointing them to Christ. Right? I would like to think that I led somebody to Christ, but I have no power to save them because of God's commandment. All I got to do is be the light. Let him shine through me. That's leadership. Here's a big one that each of us have in leadership: our homes, family. Joshua provided leadership to his family. Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood." He's going way back, ain't he? "Or the gods of the Amorites whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house," what does he say? "We'll serve the Lord." Men, this is very important. This is a strong statement. It's one that we need to heed. It's our responsibility as godly men to lead our families in the ways of the Lord. We are responsible for them. And everything that happens to our wife and kids falls on our shoulders. We need to raise them fearing the Lord. So many men today are leaders at work, but they're not leaders at home. We need to serve the Lord. Satan is attacking the biblical view of the family, and it shows today. Just look at the condition that the world is in. I mean, Mr. Potato Head, really? Right? What's going to be next? Pillsbury Doughboy? Right? Listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to make humor on the situation. It's aggravating. It is. When you hear the other side complain, and they're telling me I'm being a hypocrite and I'm full of hate because I won't align with it. Well, you're right, I won't align with it because the Bible says it's not so. Is Mr. Potato Head listening to the Bible? No, he's not. But it's common sense, folks. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. He created man. He created woman, both in his image, male and female. He didn't say we get to decide what we are, right? I'm sorry, soapbox. I'll move on. Where was I at? we got to make sure everything we do is Christ-centered. Joshua believed in the commandments of God. I think it shows through his leadership. And leadership is based on our attitudes. So what's our attitude towards God? That's a good one too, is it not? So his responsibility was to provide leadership. His second responsibility was to claim the promises of God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. He has to believe in that, right? God says it's going to happen. He just told him it's going to happen, so it's a promise. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river Euphrates and the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Remember, it was due to Israel's lack of faith that they did not get to see the promised land sooner. Joshua fought for the first time. Now he's in position to act faithfully. He's not going to let this happen a second time. Right? His responsibility was to do as God commanded him. He said, rise, arise, and go. And he's ready. The third thing we'll look at this morning is Joshua's resources. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. His resources, his very first resource is God's presence. God's presence. Back in verse 5, God promised Joshua that he will always be there. He said, no man shall be able to stand before you in all the days of your life. I will not leave you nor forsake you. God is promising Joshua complete victory in conquering the enemy that is before him. Listen to these words from God. In Jeremiah 23, verses 23 through 24, we read, God says, am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? God is everywhere. Everywhere. He expects us to be obedient. Joshua knows this and believes in the promises of God. How do we know this? Because he acted. Joshua believes that if God says, I will be with you, he believes that God will be there. Listen, no matter how alone we feel, God is always with us and we are never alone. How many times do you feel like you're by yourself? We're never alone. God is always with us. The other resource Joshua had is he had God's preserved word. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. I want you to notice this three-word phrase in our text. Just stay with me. I know I get confusing when I try to explain stuff. But it says, observe to do. Observe to do there in verse 8. Not just to observe or observe not to do. It says observe to do. Hope you catch that. It comes after these words, meditate in day and night. I go backwards when I explain things. You just have to ask Leanne. She'll explain it to you. The phrase day and night means every waking moment. And what do you and I need to meditate on every waking moment? It's a serious question. We are to meditate on the book of the law, God's word. So we are to know this book. We're to meditate on it every waking moment and to observe what is written in it. And actually do what God has commanded us to do. It's a pretty stout statement, ain't it? Joshua has God's preserved word. So we see this morning that Joshua was faithful to lead the people into the promised land because he believed in God. He believed in the promises. He knew that God was with him. He knew that he was not alone. He's seen firsthand what God can do. He remembers everything they've been from, came from, and where they're at now. The manna, the dove, the parting of the sea, walking across on dry land, the fiery column. Right? Joshua inherited the same stiff-necked people that had troubled Moses. This population of people, nearly numbering 1 million people, he inherited the leadership of a military campaign and was on the opposite side of the flooded Jordan River. It's flooded. It's flood stage. Joshua believed in God and followed his commandments. So looking back, when you have been faced with a major change in your life, when something major happens and when we get bad news, does the sudden reality of the situation wash over you completely and emotionally? It's easily done. Why? Because we're not perfect. That's why I'm so thankful to have you here at Barrel Baptist and those of you who pray for me. I got saints I can look up to, saints I can get advice from. I got godly friends. I got a church home that God has given me that He uses to give me strength. Joshua believed in God and followed His commandments. He had a great teacher in Moses. He has an awesome teacher in God, the same teacher you and I have. So looking back at how God brought us through these situations, I'm grateful that God is good on His Word. If you're still going through the storm this morning, don't give up. Do not give up. Stay faithful to God and know that He will bring you through. Rahab told Joshua and the spies when he sent them over there, they feared them because all that God has done for them. They've seen, they heard the stories, they had a reputation going before them. All you had to do was come, we'd let you have it because we wasn't fighting God. My, what a testimony, right? Well, I hope that was a help for you this morning as we study, continue to study, and I hope I've done it good. I didn't do it, God did, but. Any prayer requests this morning before we close? I will let you know, I talked to Donna Wilson yesterday. She is doing well. Her and David. David's back to work. And she's supposed to go to the doctor, I think she said, tomorrow to get a release. And I don't know if anybody else talked to Brother Bill McKeag, and he says he's doing good with his treatments. And praise the Lord, they caught it early. So any other prayer requests? And also, if yes, sir.
Pray for Mary Drysdale.
Mary Drysdale.
She has what's called pancreatitis.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly COVID.
Oh, my.
And so pray for her.
Yes, ma'am. Candy Joe. So Miss Candy Joe, she fell and hurt her knees. She's having a hard time getting over that. Just pray she heals up and she gets some help. Brother Wade said Mary Drysdale has pancreatitis and possibly COVID. So keep her in your prayers. And also, when we start, if y'all have praises, y'all let us know and we'll share. Because we need to share the praises too. So, yes, ma'am. Yes, praise that Miss Carol is here. We missed you. We're glad to have you. All right. Well, I'll go ahead and close in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to gather here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to stand up and teach again, Father, and just help us remember that we are leadership roles, play a role in people's lives, Father, and that in order to be leaders, we need to be a servant, Father, and we need to believe in your word and follow your guidance. Father, lift these prayer requests up to you. Just thank you for the good news of Brother Bill, that the treatments are doing well so far, Father, and that they caught it early. We pray that you continue to take this cancer out of his body, Father, and just pray for Miss Mary, Father, with pancreatitis, Father, and that if she does have COVID, Father, it's light, and she can get over it quickly, Father, and pray for this lady Miss Linda mentioned, Carrie Joe, I think, and you know her name, Father, and just in her situation, that you'd be with her. And thank you for allowing Miss Carol to be with us this morning, Father. And any unspoken prayer request that wasn't mentioned, Father, you know our needs. Be with us this next hour, Father, as we get ready for you to worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.